Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Mohammed Al-Qasim. Joining me is Brian O'Toole of the Atlantic Council. He is a former senior official at the U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Asset Control. On Monday, a day after announcing that it was ready to enrich any amount of uranium to any level, Iran said the enrichment level had passed 4.5%, exceeding the 2015 nuclear deal cap. Iran has called on the other signatories to the deal to find ways around U.S. sanctions. U.S. President Donald Trump warned Iran of the consequences of its decision. Mr. O'Toole, thank you for joining me.
Happy to be here.
How serious is this step?
I think it's a serious step in that it's a signaling of future potential breaches by Iran. I think this step, coupled with the increase in the stockpile, which also was in violation of Iran's commitments under the JCPOA, are minor steps that reduce the breakout time for a nuclear weapon kind of incrementally, but not dramatically. Iran needs to play a balancing game here, right? It's trying to gain some leverage over the Europeans to try to get them to dodge U.S. sanctions or to kind of deliver that economic benefit to Iran that was promised in the deal. But it can't go too far with its steps, lest it turn the Europeans towards the U.S. stance to isolate Iran itself.
What prompted Tehran to take this step?
I think it's pretty clear that the violation, and I call them violations loosely, the kind of breaches of Iran's commitments under the JCPOA were driven largely by the U.S. push to get Iran to zero oil exports. That's a big talking point on both sides here between the U.S. and Iran. Frankly, I think it's a misguided policy from the United States because it needlessly antagonizes Europe, and actually I find it to be generally counterproductive to the U.S. strategy of trying to isolate Iran and deprive the kind of hardline parts of the Iranian regime, specifically the IRGC, of revenue. But that seems to be the primary driver here, is that push to get oil exports to zero.
What is Tehran trying to achieve with this?
Tehran is pretty clearly trying to keep alive some specter of kind of economic growth or prosperity, or at least not the kind of crash that it's experiencing right now. When it signed up to the JCPOA in 2015, it did so on the understanding that economic benefit would be delivered as a result of the efforts to constrain its nuclear program. So what it's trying to do now is take those steps to gain a little bit of leverage on the nuclear side, or at least the kind of threat of progress on the nuclear side, to try to claw back some of the effects, those economic effects that have really been kind of curtailed by the reimposition of U.S. sanctions and the Trump administration's push to get Iran to kind of zero oil exports and really kind of zero foreign revenue is what they're trying to do.
You are listening to Brian O'Toole of the Atlantic Council. He's a former senior official at the U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Asset Control. Brian, how will this affect Iran's relationship with the EU, mainly France, Germany, and Britain?
It will certainly add some strain to it because Europe wants Iran to remain compliant with the terms of the deal. Now, again, these are not major steps towards a breakout, and it doesn't dramatically decrease the time needed to develop a nuclear weapon. It should be noted that the enrichment percentage, you know, they're saying 4.5% today. I believe I saw somewhere mentioned yesterday or the day before that they intended to not go above 20% enriched uranium. And to develop a nuclear weapon, you need well over 90%, right? So they're really not that close to the level of development, enrichment needed to develop a nuclear weapon. But it will certainly strain that relationship with Europe. Now, the question, I think, in my mind at least, is whether Iran is going to keep pushing this and whether they're going to take steps that really antagonize that relationship to a point where it can't be kind of fixed and the Europeans don't feel comfortable with where Iran is.
What's next for Iran, the EU, and the White House?
I think we're probably going to see a war of words for some period of time. Iran has said that every 60 days it will continue to pursue some breach of the commitments under the JCPOA. I think the reaction of the Europeans and the reaction of the White House is probably going to not result in a ton of action. I think the White House is going to maybe throw a few more names on the sanctions list, which probably won't have any practical effect. It'll just be a kind of a publicity show as much as anything else. The Europeans, I think, will probably try to meet with the Iranians and convince them to moderate their steps. And then I think the other key player in this is the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, which has been conducting inspections of Iran, is meeting later this week. It will at some point have to declare Iran in breach of those commitments under the JCPOA. And then I think what happens after that will be critical. Again, I don't think these are significant steps necessarily, but the things that I would look out for are kind of cessation of IAEA inspections, right? If Iran starts to push back on the actual inspections by IAEA inspectors or other things that would kind of drive more secrecy in what it's doing, or at least pursue a little bit more of that obfuscation. I think those are steps to be more concerned about than what they've done so far.
Brian O'Toole, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Hamad Al-Qasim.
Thanks for having me.